Let's pray. Lord, this is a challenging passage, and I thank you for the challenge it's been to me in preparing it. I pray, Lord, that you might really teach me from your word. I confess, Lord, that I am sinful and don't always live according to the principles in your word. Change me. Help us all to learn from it and seek to apply it to our lives. Pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. As I said, we're continuing our series on the book of Micah. Name Micah means, who is a God like you? And if you have your handout in front of you, it's the yellow one. That would be really helpful. Yellow sort of orangey one. Micah chapter 1. Chapter 3, sorry. It's about corruption in high places. And it's a warning against leadership. There was corruption in the land of Judah, the southern part of the kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom. 2,700 years ago, Micah warned against the leaders. And how relevant is this to us in Australia in 2015? Maybe you might think, corruption, yeah, well, it's relevant. And the government sort of takes all our money and only gives a little bit back. Maybe. You might think, well, corruption, very relevant to New South Wales politics, isn't it? Yeah, well, yes. How do we apply these principles here to our particular situation? So let me be even-handed, Labor and Liberal. So firstly, Liberal, the bottle of wine for Barry O'Farrell caused his downfall. And Labor, need I say more? However, much as we would like our passage to be about application to politics, it's not. It's not. Other passages are in the Bible about having good government and obeying people. So that's the Romans 13 one. But the Romans 13 is no relevance to today. So just forget that one. It's relevant to living, but it's no relevance today. You see, the application is, Micah was speaking to the people, the leaders of Judah. They were the people of God. The land of Israel were God's own people. After Jesus, God's own people are in many nations. There are Christians in nations throughout the world. So God's people is not just one nation anymore. God's people is the church, the body of believers. Therefore, this application is to Christian leaders. That's why I'm finding it so hard. But it's also to all of us, applicable to leadership today. Warnings against hypocrisy, dishonesty, and corruption. These things do so much harm to the spread of the gospel. Now, guys, can we just have the other lights up as well? Because I'm going to be moving around. Thank you. So you can see me everywhere. Okay, thank you. We want to think about, how do we stop moving backwards? How do we keep moving forwards? And think about the continued, what's happening at the moment in terms of church leadership. The big thing in the news is this. The Royal Commission into Institutional Response to Child Abuse. Lots of negative stuff about the church generally coming out. And appearing before the commission has been the Salvation Army, has been the Catholic Church, has been church schools. If you're a Sydney Anglican, which most of us, I guess us are, don't think we're going to miss out. I've spoken to our safe ministry people. We're on the list to be brought before them sometime. The reason is every large organisation, denomination that was involved with children, unfortunately, attracted people with wrong motives, who wanted to do the wrong thing to kids. And it's often hard to actually resource the children's ministry. Now, people who offered were just taken on board. It's so sad. It's actually changed now, though. They were very wrong leaders in covering up awful things being done. Let me say, in our Sydney diocese, we have protocols put in place. And let me read, this is off the website, let me read Archbishop Glenn Davies' quote. I totally support the stand that our diocesan leaders have taken in stating our total abhorrence of sexual misconduct and the absence and the abuse of children. I am committed to strengthening our culture of safe ministry through education and professional development of our clergy and laypeople as we seek to maintain the standards of Christian ministry which are grounded in the teaching of the Bible. Zero tolerance. So if somebody is accused of abuse, they are immediately stood down. If they're tried and convicted, they are barred from ministry for life with kids. And that's our policy. But sadly, it hasn't always been this. Sadly, the church leadership got it wrong. They sort of thought, our blokes wouldn't do this. They're good guys. We'll just move them to another parish. It's a tragedy that lives have been affected. Now, I've been challenged to talk about the whole topic of abuse, and I'm thinking about how to best do that, and maybe later in the year. If you're somebody who's been abused, feel free to talk to me, or I can refer you to people that might be able to help you. But I just want to say it's a tragedy the church got this area wrong. And now we have protocols put in place that we will try not to anymore. We can relate this to the teaching in Micah about church leaders getting it wrong. So let's work our way through the passage. Let's heed the warnings against possible areas of corruption in our church leaders, in the lives of our leaders, and also in the lives of everyone. So what's the message? If you have your handout and open it up, verses 1 to 4, it's a message for the political and secular leaders. But remember, this is the leadership of Judah. And it's all religious. It's all bound up in that. It's for the people of God. Micah 3 is this warning. It's a message by Micah, who's an 8th century prophet. Remember we said a couple of weeks ago, he's one of the minor prophets. They're often overlooked. They're towards the end of the Old Testament. They're not minor importance. They're just minor in terms of their length. They are short compared to long ones like Isaiah and sort of thing. Micah is a prophet to Judah. So we have a look down on our map. We see Judah's up the top, Judah's down the bottom, Israel up the top. And just to remind you again, Israel was divided into the northern kingdom, capital Samaria, and Judah the southern kingdom, capital Jerusalem. Now, Micah's mostly to, in this section, the leaders of Judah. In Micah, there's warnings against sin. Chapter 1, idol worship. Chapter 2, as Matthew talked to us last week, the rich exploiting the poor. And chapter 3 here, corruption amongst leaders. And he says, where there's sin, it will lead to judgment. God hates sin. And God brings judgment. Through the Assyrian invasion, through later the Babylonian invasion. Now, we have a handout on the historical background to Micah. If you didn't get one of these a couple of weeks ago, on the table at the back, just in front of the sound desk, I've put some more. Good to understand the historical background. That's where the Bible studies for this week are. So please take one if you haven't got one. What Micah's saying, the leaders, the judges, the magistrates of the city, of the tribe, of the nation, were people who were historically into settling disputes. But they were corrupt. Listen again to chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Then I said, listen, you leaders of Jacob, you rulers of the house of Israel, should you not know justice? You who hate good and love evil, who tear the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones. He's saying these people should know. But they hate the good. They love the evil. Those sitting on the bench, the magistrates, have become like butchers. It's a vivid, colourful imagery, isn't it? The leaders, the judges and the magistrates are compared to a butcher slaughtering animals. It's that graphic. He says these people are chopping up their lives, chopping up their land, their homes. It's the rich exploiting the poor without consideration. And the poor are the real victims. Michael says this is an injustice. This is wrong. And judgment will come to leaders who abuse their people. Look at verse 4. Then they will cry out to the Lord, but he will not answer them. At that time he will hide his face from them because of the evil they have done. Corrupt leaders will be punished. The application. Let's think about this. It's easy to point out corruption in our political system, our legal system. But I said this is a different situation. It's the parallel between Judah, the nation of Judah, and our church, the people of God, the leaders. The leaders in charge should know the word of God better. And yet, they're doing the wrong things. And Micah is prophesying to them, get your act right. The guiding principle in every aspect of their life should be the word of God. And yet it's a tragedy today for leaders who depart from that. Things such as covering up child abuse by the clergy. Things such as just being in ministry for the money. Things such as leaders fighting amongst each other and churches splitting over petty disputes. Sadly, many of us know of church splits and the great harm that does to the gospel. It's a terrible thing when bad things happen to leaders and when leaders go off the rails. I was at a church many churches ago where they had a newish guy came to the church, and he offered to help, and it seemed he was a good guy. He was in business and he got on parish council and he offered to be the treasurer. And because it was such a hard job, nobody wanted it, he was taken up. He was in charge of the money. His business started to go wrong, so he transferred through forgery and stuff money from the church accounts to prop up his business. After a couple of years, it all came out and the church lost hundreds of thousands. This guy went to jail. What a tragedy for the church. Let us be striving to follow God's ways in all aspects of our church life. We need to be seen to do the right thing as well as doing the right thing. All our values and actions should come from this. Our core values always come from God's word. Point number two. Micah is attacking the false prophets. It's a message for the religious and spiritual leaders, verses 5 to 8. The religious leaders are saying what the people want to hear. For example, in verse 5, they're saying, give us money. Feed us, and then there'll be peace rather than war. They resort to pagan practices, you see in our passage. Divination. Micah, in contrast, stands up strongly for God. Look at verse 8. After verse 6 and 7, talking about astrology and that sort of stuff, and about trying to make money through false prophecy and that sort of stuff, he says, in contrast to these false prophets, I, Micah, verse 8, am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin. He speaks God's word fearlessly, even when attacked. And we know that Micah is attacked for his prophecy. And if we stand up for the truth, sometimes even in church circles, we can get attacked. Let me give you an example. Marge and I, many churches ago, before we had kids, were in a small group after the Sunday evening service. It was a small Sunday evening service. And after the Sunday evening service, the group, most of it would go off to a house and go to various houses to have supper. Now, everybody in that group was very helpful in the church. But the suppers would go on and on and on to 12, 1 o'clock sometimes, mostly young people. And what happened when people started to get tired? They would make jokes about other people in the church, especially some of the older people. And they would criticise. And there was a level of crudity that was tolerated. Now, Marge and I and another couple said, this is inconsistent with what we're learning. We were ostracised. We were told we didn't fit in. We need to make more effort to fit in. And we stopped going to those suppers, but we were criticised. A number of years later, we heard the two couples who were part of that had got married and they had kids. And the two leaders who were leaders in the church, the male from one couple had an affair with the female from the other couple. And it broke up the families and did so much damage to the church. And sadly, I think the culture that was being tolerated contributed to that actually happening. And those of us who stood up and said, this is wrong, we were criticised. We said it in a shaky voice, but we were ostracised. That's like Micah. He's criticised for standing up and saying, the word of God says this. You leaders are doing the wrong thing. And sometimes prophets are criticised. Point number three, a message for the entire leadership of the nation. Verses 9 to 12. Micah's telling the people about the Ten Commandments. He's bringing them back to that. You can see there's a summary up on the screen. He's telling them about the peril of continuing to defy God. Look at verse 9. He's saying, those of you who despise justice, who distort all that is right. Verse 10, who build Zion, Jerusalem, with bloodshed, Jerusalem with wickedness. Verse 11, who are open to bribes, who are into telling fortunes for money. He's saying, judgment is going to come. And judgment does come. In 722 BC, Assyria comes down from the north. You can see it up on the screen. This is God's means of judgment. The superpower Assyria there, 722, comes down, destroys the northern kingdom, besieges Jerusalem, lays waste the countryside. Through a miracle, they are saved. You can read about that in Isaiah. Jerusalem is saved through the good king Hezekiah. But 120 years later, after Assyria has declined, the next superpower is Babylon. They come down and they lay siege to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is destroyed and the people taken into exile. Why does the exile happen? It's God's judgment. You see, in verse 11, the people thought they could rely on the fact they were God's people. They just went through the motions, though, of true religion. We should not blot out warnings against corruption, hypocrisy. Leaders, ministry staff leaders, Bible study leaders, leaders of ministry groups, parish council members, indeed every Christian here. What we do here on Sunday has to be reflected how we live the rest of our life during the week. How we work, how we have relationships, not just male, female, but how we have relationships, good relationships, relate well to people. Our family life, our leisure, the choices we make, the way we behave. If we are hypocrites, it's terrible. And if we're hypocrites, it does great harm to the gospel. It's a telling sign, isn't it? We're all witnesses. We can either be a positive or a negative witness. Well, let's just sum up. What's the message for us? Let us guard against corruption in the church. Let's avoid splits over petty disputes. Let's live God's way. Let's make sure that everything we do, our core values, come from God's word. Let's heed the warnings that Micah gave to the leaders of his time. Let's make sure we root out corruption. We get rid of hypocrisy and dishonesty. Let's keep on proclaiming the truth and living it out. Every aspect of our life should be affected by our faith. Principles in Micah are relevant for church leaders, but are also relevant for us as individuals in 2015. Let us be consistent with what we believe. Let's heed the warnings. Let's avoid corruption and stand up for God's truth and justice. Amen.